Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta Yerdana Azband, our daf of the day, Masachet Nazir, daf Lamed Hey, page 35. Page 35 opens with a discussion about this prohibition that we saw in the Mishnah, right? What's prohibited to a Nazir to eat when it comes to grapes? And it says, Midbar Vav, the book of Numbers, chapter 6, from pits to grape skin, right? That's the verse itself. And we have now on our daf the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, who takes that same verse and says that what this means is, or what we learn from it, really, is that the Nazir is only going to be chayav if he eats two actual grape seeds and a grape skin. So let's read this inside. I'm at the top of the daf, but a few words in, right? Well, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, meaning this is the way he derives what's going to put the Nazir in the position of having violated the halacha, the prohibition to the Nazir. So the Gemara wants to know, where does he get this particular detail? Meaning that it's two grape seeds and a grape skin that would bring about the lashes, right? The violation. Savarlak Ribelezer, Dedarish Mi'et Vriba. So the Gemara explains that Ribelezer ben Azariah agrees with Ribelezer, who was on the previous staff, who says that what we're talking about here is not learning straight from a verse, even though it looks like there's a verse there to learn from, but rather that it's from Mi'et Vriba, right? That there's within this verse, there's a statement that reduces the number of possibilities, it restricts, and then rebar, and then it expands, it amplifies. And we'll get into this, and I know you're going to talk about this in our, you know, age-old rule, and we've talked about this before, of klal upratu klal, when you have a general statement and then a detail, and then you have another general statement, and the way those inferences then can work. So in this case, we've got it's called a mute and a ribui, miet vriba. But if you want to say, for example, the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's opinion really lines up with that of the rabbis, as opposed to that of Rebbe Elazar and the previous staff, that really then this would be a case of klal upratu klal, right? Kirabanan, de'i salka daitach kada'ama Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, lichtavei rachmana lahai mechartzenim va'ad zag, gabe pratei lamahilchata katavei batar klal. So what happens if you would think, if it would enter your mind, that the verse is only teaching what's said by Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah himself, namely that the verse should just say, "Machar tzanim v'adzag," right, from the pits to the grape skin, and then also, right, all the other details, gabe partei, all those other details of the wine, the vinegar, and so on. Why does the Torah write from pits to grape skin after the more general statement about grapes to begin with, right? You could just say anything pertaining to grapes. You have a nice general statement. You don't have to get into the details of the chartzanim. So therefore, the Gemara's position is that you should conclude that we derive this whole halacha by means of that method of limud, that method of inference, klal uprat. So basically, if you want a line of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah with Rebbe Elazar, you come at it by saying it's a mi'ut and a ribui, that there's an expansion, I'm sorry, that there's a limitation and then an expansion. But if you want to see how Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's opinion lines up with Rabbanan, then the rationale, the way to get to these conclusions, is more aptly described as klal upratu klal. Ve'ema kuli lahachi huda ata. If you want, you could say that the whole phrase comes only to make this, for this purpose of saying first a general statement and then the detail. Im kein lichtov oshne chartzanim oshne zagim o chartzan v'zag. Amai hilchata katav rachmana mechartzanim v'ad zag. Right, if you want to say that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is not right to be drawing this inference about this halacha, right, namely that the Nazir would be liable if he would have two grape seeds and a grape skin, right, he shouldn't be learning from this verse at all, then rather than the Torah should have said something either more specific or more general, right? Let the Torah either say two grape seeds, two grape skins, where both are in plural, or a grape seed and a grape skin, where both are in the singular. Meaning, why does it say Why does it then say from pit to grape skin, right? Chetzanim ad zag, that you've got one thing that's singular, that's the zag, that's the grape skin, or the chetzanim, that's the pits, that's plural, right? Rather, we should just understand from this that this is exactly the way we draw this kind of inference. Shema mina le midrash bei klal uprat. And more than that, you could just say, you could learn from that exactly that we're gonna from this verse that the Nazir is going to be liable only or as soon as he would eat two grape skins of the grape skin. That is also the detail in the verse, right? As much as the detail is there to provide the prat of the general statement and then the prat and then the detailed statement or the detail, right? The detail itself provides the prohibition, the mount by which a nazir would then be violating this halacha. I'm going to pause here. I know that the klal uprat to klal can kind of be a little bit head spinning, but Yordana, I know that there's more details about this on Amud Bet.
Yeah, so I mean, essentially, what this staff is doing is through the specifics of Nazir, right? Whether you learn something prat, klal, prat, or klal, prat, uklal, right? Depending if you're Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or the rabbis, the staff is now trying to find sort of the source, like the Uber source, the Uber example of where they started to learn things in this way, and then get into sort of a general discussion about. How do we learn, when we have sequences in the Torah, how does it teach us things about halakha itself? And so they're going to spend a little bit of time. They ask, Minelan dahachi hu, right? How do we know that this is so aman amud bet? Like, where do we have this, the prototype, for these combinations of prat and klal, right? That includes everything that's similar to the prat itself, to the thing that is specified. And so they quote a braisa here, Ditanya, right? So this starts with the pasuk in Devarim, chapter 14, verse 26. It has to do with the laws of Maaser Sheni, right? Remember, so this was separated out on the first, second, fourth, and fifth of a 7-year Shemitah cycle. You had to take this produce and eat it in Yerushalayim. Or you redeemed it for money, and then you took that money to Yerushalayim and bought food there to be eaten. And so the pasuk here is describing what foods you can purchase with the Maaser Sheni money. And it says, "V'natata kesef asher b'chol asher ta'aved nafshecha ba'bakar u'batzon u'bayayin u'basecha u'b'chol asher tishalecha nafshecha." Right. So you can spend your money for anything that your soul desires. That's the klal. That's a general statement for cattle and for flock and for wine and for aged wine. So that's a prat. That's specific examples of what that food can be. And then it concludes with another klal for anything that your soul asks for, right? So it says klal uprat uklal, right? So the Torah has a generalization with a specification followed by a generalization. You cannot derive anything other than what is similar to the specification. Maha prat mifurash primi priu v'gidulei karka. Just as the specification here is all foods that are fruit from fruit or nourished from the ground, right? So in other words, it has to be stuff, either fruit from fruit, meaning something that was food that was turned into other food, like wine, okay? But this could also include plants and animals, which came from earlier plants and animals. They don't actually grow from the ground itself, right? That would be the cattle and the flock, right? They're nourished from the ground because they eat from the ground itself. And then you have things that actually grow from the ground, and that would be like the wine and the sechar. And then it so that so that's basically so then it says I've called pre-mi pre the gedulei karka. So anything purchased with Maaser Sheni money has to be fruit from fruit and nourished from the ground. Because in other words, yes, the pasuk starts by saying. Anything your soul wants, but then it gives you specific examples. The commonality of the specific examples is fruit from fruit or growing from the ground. And then it concludes with the specifics. So in other words, the specifics of what you can buy have to be related to that prat category. So the Gemara wants to understand how this works. Michde, right now, klal uprat uklal, right? Generalization followed by a specification with a generalization. Ke'en prata danina, right? We derive similar to the specification. Klala batra mai anhe. So then why do you need that final generalization? In other words, if you're going to say that everything has to follow the prat, the specification that's in the middle of two klal, why do you need this last klal? Couldn't you just say if you have a klal and then a prat, that's enough to just say you follow the prat? Why do you need klal, prat, and klal? So the Gemara says, Ani le'usefei ko didami le. The final klal there is there to include all the cases that are similar to the ones of that law. Because in other words, without that final klal, right, you don't have it, because then you may just think that it's just what's mentioned in the specification, right? And not anything that is similar to the specification. So if it was just there, right, then you would just, you know, so that's why you need it does give some expansion to cases similar to the specification, to what's listed in the prat, but not just the cases listed in the prat itself. The Gemara goes on to ask, v'to prat uklal prat. And then let's say you have specification with the generalization, then by specification, ke'ena prat daninan. So again, in those cases also, we make sure the cases, any halacha is derived, has to be similar to the prat, to the specification. Prata betraya my ahani, right? Why do we need that final prat? It's the same thing. Why do we need that final specification? The Gemara explains, ila prata batraya, right? If we don't have that last specification, hava amina naset klal musaf ala prat, then I would have thought that the generalization, right, because there's a klal statement, adds to the specification. And actually, right, what it's telling us is no, it's that it's limited to just the prat. And then it goes on to say, umichte, right now, train klale uprata, right? If we have two generalizations with the specification between, right, klal, prat, uklal, train prate uklala, or we have two specifications with the generalization, that's prat, klal, uprat, klala ke'in prata daninan. The generalization, right, is basically restricted, and we can only derive things that are similar to a specification. My eka beni uveni. What's the difference between these two types of sequences? In other words, what's the difference between prat klal uprat or klal prat uklal? If the bottom line is you end up just always saying it goes according to the prat. The prat is what's important there. The things that are specified are what's important. So eka, here's the difference. De elu treating klale uprata, when we have a case of two generalizations and a specification, right? Klal prat uklal. Yi eka prata didamile afilu b'chad sad marbinan. If there's a case that resembles the specification, the prat, even in one way, we include it. Trei prati uklala, but when we have prat klal uprat, yi eka prata didami mishani tzadina marbinan. If there's a case that resembles the specification in two ways, we include it, okay? B'chad sad lo marbinan. But if it only resembles it in one way, we would not include it. So the difference between these sequences has to be with how similar to the prat does something have to be. So when you have klal, prat, uklal, another case only has to have one common characteristic with the prat. But when you have prat, klal, uprat, another, you know, whatever the example is, has to have at least two common characteristics with the prat. The Gemara goes on to say, Michte now, prat uklal, right? Let's say we just have specification and then generalization. Naset klal musaf ala prat, right? So we just learned the generalization is made and is an addition to the specification. Vitrave komile, and then basically almost everything gets included. Umi eit v'riba nami riba hakol. But we saw earlier, and this is referring to Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, right? If we have that same sequence with the Torah, right? That it's limited and then ample, right? And then, so in other words, it becomes limited, it's specified, but then becomes broader, right? We also come that it's broad and basically ends up including everything. V'it rabe komile, and everything is included. My eka ben mi'at v'riba l'prat uklal. So now they want to know, what is the difference between mi'at v'riba, right? Limiting and broadening, that type of technique, which was discussed on Lamed Dalet, versus how are those different? So in English, we would say miyat and riba is limitation and amplification. Prat and klal would be specification and generalization. So the Gemara basically says, eka, this is the difference. De'ilu prat uklal, right? When we have things in terms of specification and generalization, marbinan afilo alin velulavin. We would include, and now they go back to our actual case of Nazir, even leaves and shoots. That's what we get from Prat Ukla. Umiat Variba, but if we just understand it from this limitation and amplification, Lulevini, the shoots, right, are included, Alin Lo, but the leaves would not be included. And the reason for that, so again, this goes back to Lamed Dalid, okay? And so what the Gemara basically saying at the end is Miad Verubi, right, ends up actually being more restrictive than just having a Prat Uklal. And so what it's trying to say is that you actually need Prat Uklal if you want it to be much more expansive. So I this is a very, very detailed type of dab, but it's really giving us into insight into like what was the methodology of halachic interpretation. You weren't just allowed to make any conclusion that you wanted to make. You really had to follow these rules. And these rules are actually very intricate and very, very well thought out in a way that I think we don't really appreciate completely today when we think about how halacha is derived actually from the psukim themselves.
The part that I find tricky, I think, is, right, when we have these kinds of disputes about whether it's going to be riboy and mute, mute and riboy, versus klal or prat uklal, right? It's a different kind of inference, but you're looking at the same verse and you can approach it in more than one way. Meaning, I'm not talking about whether you're arguing, whether the sages were arguing over what's the klal, what's the prat, what the order is, but the way of inference, right, means that they come to the same conclusion, give or take. Sometimes it's a machloket. But the way of learning a mute versus a ribui, this limitation versus expansion, right? Or I know you've had different words for these things, but it's the same kind of study, right? I think it's really interesting that different verses, I'm sorry, the same verse can be approached with different tools of logical inference, and that's okay.
Right. And I think it's also interesting to see that there's sort of like Uber cases where they learn these things from, like sort of like what's the first case that they learned this from. So for the rabbis, they have this case of Master Shani, you know, for Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, they bring this case of damages. Like, it's interesting to see that there's like Nazir's not considered to be sort of the prototypical case.
Right. There has to be, like you say, a prototype, a paradigm. That's where the basic principle of this kind of inference or the other kind of inference begins, or you can always go back to that to check yourself to make sure that you really got it.
Well, that's our DAP discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAP in our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.